When you think of deep and wide, I mean, that was probably one of the most difficult subjects to get a lesson on. But when you think of deep and wide, really, that's a good description of God's love. God's love is indeed deep and wide, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight. I looked up a song, and I don't know if we ever sung it here, Bertha. We might have years ago. I can't remember. But it says, God's love is deeper than the deepest ocean. God's love is wider than the widest sea. God's love is higher than the highest mountain. So that's a good description of God's love, is it not? So deep and wide really would be a good description of God's love. Let me give that to you again in case you just wanting to write it down. God's love is deeper than the deepest ocean. God's love is wider than the widest sea. God's love is higher than the highest mountain. And that's a good description of the song Deep and Wide. And that's a good description of God's love too. What I'm going to do tonight is give you four evidences of God's love. Four evidences. I mean, you could really talk forever about the evidence of God's love, but we're going to notice just four. I'm not going to be real windy, but Romans chapter 5 is the first one we're going to look at. The greatest evidence of God's love for us is the sending of His Son to die for us. I mean, sometimes people wonder or doubt whether God loves them or not, but the greatest evidence that there can possibly be given is the giving of His Son for the purpose of paying for our sin debt. Every one of us has a debt that we cannot pay. And that debt that we cannot pay is a sin debt. One thing that every one of us has in common is every one of us, I mean, it's one thing to tell people they need to be saved, but really you need to tell them why they need to be saved. And the reason why they need to be saved is because every one of us is a lawbreaker. Does everybody in the house realize that? Every one of us has broken God's law. There's not a person here that hasn't. Matter of fact, the Bible says that if someone says they're without sin, they're a liar and the truth's not in them. So everybody here tonight has broken God's law. We look at the Ten Commandments we got up here behind us, and we use the Ten Commandments a lot in witnessing because we take people to the Ten Commandments so that they see their need of a Savior. You know, every one of us here tonight has broken God's law. And you know, you not only, I mean, think about it. I mean, look at all the commands here, the Ten Commandments, but look at, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. I mean, all of these are laws. And every one of us has broken God's law. And you not only break God's law by doing it physically, you also break God's law even in your thoughts. You can break God's law even in your what again? Thoughts. So in order to be, this is why when I talk to people sometimes, I talk to people a lot of times think they saved themselves by their deeds. And I say, well, here's what the requirement is. I take him to the requirement. To be saved by your deeds, you got to keep that law how much? 100%. Guess what? When the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that simply means every one of us here tonight has broken God's law. Every one of us have. That's why we need a what? We need a substitute. We need a Savior. Well, here in Romans chapter 5, here's how much God loved us. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 5. It says in verse 6, for when we were without what? We were without strength. Romans 5 and verse 6, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. What does it mean without strength? We didn't have the ability in and of ourselves to save ourselves. We couldn't earn our salvation. Remember, salvation is called a gift. The Bible, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. A lot of difference between a wage and a gift. What is a wage? A wage is something you, something that you earn. A gift It's something someone else worked for and gives to you. That's what a gift is. Well, I tell you what, I earned death. But beloved, God gave me a great gift, and it's a gift of grace, and it's a gift of love. Let's read on now. We were without strength. We were lawbreakers. Everybody here tonight's lawbreakers. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. You're still a lawbreaker. Every one of us has. When the Bible says we've all sinned, that means we've all broke God's law. That's why everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to be born again. Notice what else it says. Verse 6, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Aren't you glad it says that? He died. We were ungodly, lawbreakers, transgressors of His law, under a sin curse. Scripture says, cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. How many things? All the things. One transgression makes you a lawbreaker. So you know what that means, don't you? That's why we need a Savior. We can't do it. We can't earn it. We can't obtain it by all the good things that we do. Can't do it. A lot of people think that, though. They don't realize that eternal life's a gift. It's not a wage. Notice then verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, means to show forth. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the evidence number one of God's love. Now I love you folk. I do. But I wouldn't give my son for you. Just to give a crude illustration, I wouldn't give my son for you. I mean, I do love you. But that's exactly what the Father did. God, sometimes people question God's love. God so loved that He provided His only begotten Son to be a sin substitute for my sin. Now, that's love. That's love. And that's why it can't really be measured. So it says in verse 8, He commended His love. It means that's how it showed forth. In the while we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? Christ died for us. He paid the sin debt. Turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll show you another text. If you can't find things fast in your Bible, don't try it. I'll lose you looking. I don't want to do that. I'm going to read it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Talking about God's love, evidence number one of God's love was the sending of His Son. Y'all agree? I mean, there's no greater evidence than God's love than the fact that He would be willing to send His Son to pay the debt that I owed. That's great love. That's why I love Him so. That's why we sing to Him. That's why we have Vacation Bible School. It's why we pray to Him. It's why we do what we do. We do it because we love Him. Look what He done. Look what He done for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from the vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Listen to this. But with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. We were redeemed. You know what the word redeemed means? Set free from bondage. When the children of Israel was in bondage in Egypt, remember, they were under Pharaoh, and then when they were brought out of Egypt, you know what was said about them? It says that they were redeemed out of Egypt. What does that mean? They were set free from their bondage. Before I was redeemed, before I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was in bondage under a sin debt. And when you trust Jesus as your Savior, you're redeemed. What's that mean? You're set free from your bondage. Master said, whom, here, listen to this now, whom the Son sets free, they shall be free indeed. All God's people say it. That's a glorious thing. And that's how much He loved you. That's how, beloved, that's how much He loved you. He provided His Son to pay your debt. Here tonight, He provided His Son to pay the debt that you owed. That's a glorious thing. Beloved, that's why I love Him so. That's why I want to serve Him. I'm not serving Him to get saved. I'm serving Him because I am saved. That's what servants do. We sing a song sometimes here at the church, I will serve thee because I what? I will serve thee because I love thee. That's what motivates the service. It's not a drudgery. Having saved me, given me everlasting life, I serve Him because I love Him. I want to bring glory and honor to His name. Still in 1 Peter 1, let me go ahead and read a little bit farther. It says, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. They offered one of them in Israel every morning and evening. Did you know that? In the morning they offered a lamb. In the evening they offered a lamb. Every morning. That testimony went out throughout the Old Testament scriptures. And why did they offer a lamb? What was Jesus called? When John the Baptist introduced Him, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus was the lamb. Those lambs pictured Him. We don't offer lambs today because Jesus fulfilled all that when He died on Calvary. Jesus is the lamb. He is the sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. Verse 20. It says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Now I want you to pay close attention to verse 20. Calvary wasn't an accident. I've heard that before. Well, He came on, He tried to take over Israel a certain way. When it didn't work out, then He went another route. Calvary was ordained, foreordained. Look at it. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. We used to sing a song there. It's been a while since we did. He was slain from the foundation of the world. It was determined that He'd die on Calvary before He ever said, let there be light. That's what it means. So Calvary wasn't an accident. Calvary was a what? It was a plan. It was a plan. Now I want you to notice the rest of verse 20. It says, but He was manifest in these last times for you. People sometimes ask me, they say, Pastor, are we in the last days? Yeah, we've been in them for 2,000 years. The Bible says He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. So we've been in the last times, beloved, for 2,000 years. The next thing on the Master's agenda is the coming of the Messiah. Wouldn't it be great if He'd come tonight? Wouldn't it be great if He'd come during this vacation Bible school? Trump would go up. Trump would sound and we'd go up. Wouldn't it be a glorious thing to happen? Can I ask you a question? If that would happen, are you ready to go up? Are you, amen, Rob. Are you ready to go up? That's the most important thing. I was witnessing a man, I've witnessed to people several times over the years, and I say, if you, I say, it's lost man, I said, if you knew that Jesus was coming an hour from now, what would you want to do in that hour? He said, well, I guess I'd want to get saved. I said, you're not guaranteed an hour. You're not guaranteed an hour. No man knows the day and time that He's coming. Jesus could come now, or you could die before that time comes. That's why there needs to be a sense of urgency on the part of people. Verse 21, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What's the truth you obey? I want to hear it. It starts with a G, one word, the gospel. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel message is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. You got to trust the gospel. It's more than being able to quote it. You got to trust it. Master, I want to receive your gospel. Well, that's evidence of God's love is the sending of His Son. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. His love is what? It's deep and it's wide. You can't reach the end of it, beloved. You can't reach the end of it. And That's how much he loved you. It's the sending of his son. Sending of his son to pay a debt that you could not pay. Evidence number two. Notice what it says in Romans 8 and verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The word condemnation is a word, if you'd look it up, it means no damnatory sentence. To be under condemnation is to be under a damnatory sentence. But the good news in the text is there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How do you get in? I think it's a good question to ask. If there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, how do you get in? Well, the book of Romans chapter 5, if you're right there in Romans 8, if you look back at Romans chapter 5, it tells you how you get in. Hey, do you want to get in? Let me ask you a question, beloved. Do you want to get in? Do you want to get in tonight? You could get in tonight. You could get in the ark of safety tonight. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till the end of the class. You can get in right now if you'd like to. If you're here tonight and lost, you're living under condemnation, a damnatory sentence. You need to be set free. You need to be set free from that. Notice what it says in verse 1 of Romans 5. Therefore being justified, the word justified means declared righteous. Let me say it one more time. Justified means what? Declared righteous. That's what it means. Wonderful thing. Here's what justification is. When you receive Christ Jesus as your Savior, you ask Him to save you, you trust that He died on Calvary for you and rose again. What the Lord does, here's what salvation is. He charges your iniquities to, He charges your sin debt to Jesus. That's why we sing the song, Jesus paid it. He didn't pay it half. Jesus paid it all. He paid every bit of it. Justification also does something for you. You have, not only does He pay your debt in full, but He charges to you His 100% righteousness. Amen. Hey, let me let this over. How much righteousness does it take to go to heaven? How much? 100%. Who was the only 100% righteous man that ever walked this planet? Jesus. When you ask Jesus to save you, He takes your sin and it's charged all to Him and He pays for it. And He pays for it in full. Amen. And then He takes His righteousness, all 100% of it, and charges it to you. I was witness to a man one time, and he come and he's talking to me, and he said, Jeff, I'm just afraid. He's crying. He said, I'm just afraid I ain't done enough. And I went, you haven't. You haven't done enough. You can't do enough. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need Jesus to start with. You ain't done enough. And then I told him about the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's what he does. What he does then is he takes his righteousness and he charges it to you. Watch this now. He charges his sin to Jesus. Our sins charged to Jesus. His righteousness charged to Him. And when you see God's people in the book of Revelations, when you see them in heaven, do y'all remember what color clothing they got on? White robes. And the white robes is the righteousnesses of the saints, which is Christ's righteousness. All God's people see it. It's the only way you can die good. I can guarantee you that. We sing that song, Jesus paid it what again? Jesus paid it all. And He gives you His righteousness. I never did tell you about the access yet, have I? Look at verse 2 of Romans 5. Here's your access. What is an access? It's how you get in. Sometimes people come down and want to work on your heater or something, or and they'll need to, they want to know where the what's at. They want to know where the access is at. I'm going to tell you tonight where the access is at, but you ain't going to find a heater at the end of it. Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, verse 1, we have peace with God through Jesus. That's the only way you can have peace with God. By whom, which is Jesus, we have access. There's your word access. That means, what's the access? How you get in. Access by faith. Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Well, that's a pretty deep love, is it not? We're looking at evidences of God's love, that deep and wide love. Sending his son to pay our debt was number one. Evidence number two, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. I'm going to give you an illustration that I give a lot, but I'm going to tell you where you find it. It's in John 3. You know John 3:16. John 3. It's in John 3:14 through 16. Let's go ahead and turn to it. It won't kill us, that'll think. We'll be all right. Let's turn to John 3. I want to show you this. We'll give you a picture. I love this picture. Jesus is talking to a man here by the name of Nicodemus. And he goes to Jesus by night. I guess he didn't want anybody to see him because he was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. No, he was a religious lost man. A lot of religious lost people never trusted Jesus. But he had something pressing on him, so he went to Jesus by night. Wanted to talk to him. He knew something wasn't right, so he wanted to talk to him. See? Are you ready? Watch this now. Nicodemus wasn't understanding. If you look up at verse 9, he said, how can these things be? He's confused. So Nicodemus, he knew the Old Testament law. So what he does, what the master does is he takes him back to the book of Numbers. Takes him back to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, an illustration. For complaining in the book of Numbers 21, God sent a plague of snakes upon Israel. Y'all remember that? Anything but snakes. I hate snakes, don't you? Can you imagine a plague of, plague of frogs would be something, but a plague of snakes would be horrible. I couldn't imagine that. He sent a plague of snakes. They started biting the people. And the people started dying all over. And they go to Moses and they ask Moses to intercede on their behalf. And you know what the Lord told him to do? He said, you take and you make a serpent out of brass. Make a serpent out of brass. And he said, I want you to take and you take that and put that serpent on that top of that pole and set it in the midst of the camp. And you tell the people this, whosoever will look, will look and do what? All they had to do is look. All they had to do is look. Here I am. I got bit by one of those serpents. I'm dying. Moses said, all you have to do is look. Here's what God said to do. You look upon that serpent on that pole, boom, they was instantly healed of those snake bites. Wouldn't that have been an awesome cure? Jesus is preaching here in this text. He's talking to Nicodemus, who knew that story. Are you with me now? He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus said, I'm going to have to be lifted up. Was Jesus lifted up on a pole? He was lifted up on a cross. Now we can understand Jesus being represented by a sheep or a lamb in the Old Testament, but a serpent usually represents who? Usually represents the devil, doesn't it? How could this picture Jesus? Jesus was cursed on Calvary. The serpent was a cursed beast. He was cursed so you never would be. All God's people said. I deserve to be cursed. I deserve to be cursed and condemned forever. But guess what? The Lamb of God took that curse for me. Where did he do it at? He did it on Calvary. All God's people say it. Man, that just tears me up. So Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Are you ready? Listen to it. That whosoever believeth in him. The word believe is more than just believe it existed or believing that there's a God. Believing means to trust in Jesus. That's what it means. There's a lot of people believing a God that have never trusted in Jesus. It's more than that. You got to trust that He died for you on Calvary and rose again the third day. That's the power of God to salvation, and that's the gospel message. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling him here. Verse 15, whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. I think about it more today than ever did in my life, I guess. You know why I think about it more today? Well, we're older, Stewie, you old buzzard. We're older. I didn't think about that when I was 17. I'm going to be 57 on July 23rd. Yeah, 57, that's only 13 years away. Think about it. I think a little bit more about it now. Now, we're not guaranteed that. But 70 years ain't real long no matter how you slice it. It's eternity. It's eternity that's what's important. It's the eternal things is what matters. Whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have what again? Everlasting life. That's what salvation is. If you're here tonight and born again, you got eternal life, everlasting life right now. Four evidences of God's love. Number one, sending of His Son to pay your debt. Number two, having no condemnation. And then number three, no separation. Let's go to Romans 8 again. Romans chapter 8. I'll give them all to you again so you can write them down. Romans chapter 8. You know, God, do you know nothing ever separates you from God's love? Nothing. That's what He says. That's what it says. We're looking at evidence of that deep and wide love of Jesus. We're looking at the evidences of it. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth. It's kind of like a challenge, isn't it? He's naming things that can separate in some situations. So He's saying all these different things. Height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from His love. That's a pretty great love, isn't it? Nothing can separate you. Not death, life, angels, Satan, hell, etc. Nothing can separate you from His love. Last of all, let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. All right, what's this message entitled? Deep and Wide. What are we applying it to? The deep and wide love of God. What's the evidence of God's love, number one? What's the evidence of sending of His Son to die on Calvary for our sin debt? Evidence number two. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. How you get in? It's a faith access is how you get in. Evidence number three was Romans 8, 38 and 39. No separation. Nothing will ever separate you from His love. Then last of all, evidence number four, given in John 6 and verse 37. Are you ready for this? Look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me, what are they going to do? They shall come to me. And so they might. They're going to come. Holy Spirit's going to quicken them and open their hearts and open their old blinded eyes. Brother Newton wrote, I was blind, but now I. Who opened your eyes? God did. Only God can open a blinded eye. All that the Father giveth me shall do what? They'll come to me. And him that comes to me, what else does it say? I ain't going to cast them out. I'll know why. That's like saying, no way. It's like saying, no way. I'm not going to cast them out. He won't cast you out. Now, if you're born again and you get out here not doing what you're supposed to do, how can I say it's nice? He'll bust your britches. He'll take you to the woodshed. Hey, I'm afraid of God taking me to the woodshed. But he just won't let you go. Did you hear what he won't just let you go. He'll take you to the woodshed, all right. He'll give you a whipping. You ever get have the Lord give you a whipping?
Yes.
He'll give you one, but he won't let you go. That's love, isn't it? Send his son to die. No condemnation. No separation. No casting out. All God's people say it. That's a great love. That love is what? It's deep and it's wide. All right, aren't you glad? I hope if you're here tonight, maybe we'll close with a word of prayer. Little ones will be, you got about 20 minutes before the little ones will be back over. If you're here tonight, maybe you've never trusted Jesus, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. We're going to pray if you're here tonight, if you've never trusted him. Now you see it. You see it now. If you ask him to save you, save your soul. If you'd like to talk to me after the services tonight about it, be glad to. I'll pray with you if you'd like. But whatever you do, the most important thing is to have everlasting life. Let's all stand. We'll close with a word of prayer. You can stay here. Most generally, that's what we do, and carry on a little bit. Everybody bow their head. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this fine number you give us for our Bible class. We pray it grow every night. We pray to see people saved this week. We pray that you continue to touch hearts and continue to bring us young people here so we can tell them about these great lessons about your love.